Hello, hello, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit today. Knew a fellow one time at a radio station, and when I came in, I guess he thought he had gotten the Spirit, but he left whatever it was, the effect was, all over the microphone, if you know what I mean. Don't want to gross you out around lunchtime or anything, but he would just spit and sputter and just everything all over the place because he thought he was feeling the gospel or he had the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is not necessarily manifested in how loudly you talk. The Spirit is not necessarily manifested in whether or not you lose control of yourself in an audible kind of way. Instead, the Holy Spirit of God, as demonstrated in the Scripture, is much more straightforward. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be emotional about it, but it is something that it is clearly delineated or explained in Scripture. First of all, the identification of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is simply deity. That is, of the Godhead. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, "The earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now, there aren't any people around at that time, so the Holy Spirit is not some effect or feeling that man has, but is instead a separate being. When they were told that they had lied unto God in Acts chapter 5, they had lied unto the Holy Spirit, as was explained in Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. So, the name itself, Holy Spirit, should indicate unto us the idea of what we're dealing with here. The Spirit of God, not just any old kind of Spirit, but the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, there's an interesting incident also that helps to identify just exactly how people understood the interaction with God's Holy Spirit. It says that it came there to pass in Acts 19, beginning in verse 1, Apollos was at Corinth, and that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to a place called Ephesus. Finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, obviously here, he is not saying, "Did you get in fellowship with God when you believed or when you got in fellowship with God?" That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, would it? He is not saying here that every person who is a child of God doesn't have of the Spirit of Christ. That's not what he's getting at either. He is obviously talking about some special manifestation or blessing bestowed by God's Holy Spirit. He's saying, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." He said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Unto John's baptism." Well, John's baptism by then had been long gone. It's not in effect today either. He was the forerunner of Christ, but today somebody must be subjected unto the baptism that is described according to the Christian dispensation in the Bible. Anyway, Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him on whom who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, what tipped him off was their lack of knowledge concerning the Holy Spirit, perhaps even the existence of the Holy Spirit. And certainly if someone is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Matthew chapter 28, then it just sounds a little strange. You would not know anything about the work of God's Holy Spirit, right? So when you think about the Holy Spirit himself, then we must consider that God describes his work from the standpoint of what he is going to do to mankind, and in certain places, in what way has he given them a special blessing to do incredible or even miraculous things? The Holy Spirit isn't just about words, ladies and gentlemen, and he's certainly not about unintelligible words. He doesn't cause somebody to get into an emotional fit and say things that nobody can understand. He doesn't have an effect whereby he is only about certain words. But if you claim the Holy Spirit, then there must be a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Mary was with child of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is about power, about miraculous doing and ability, enabling people to do miraculous things. As you read about, for example, when God was referring to David, King David, in Mark chapter 12 and verse 36, it says that David himself said, "By the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." David was inspired by God to say that. He said it by the Holy Spirit. If someone today says that the Spirit has moved them, then they're claiming the inspiration of God. You're saying your words are just as good as David's. You're saying your words are just as good as an apostle's. And if you claim that, you have to be able to do the things of David or an apostle. You can't just claim inspiration. You can't just say, the Holy Spirit did this to me, the Holy Spirit did that to me, and yet at the same time not have anything that the people in the Bible had. David was a mighty man of God, was able to slay Goliath, did all kinds of miraculous things by the power of God, and yes, spoke by inspiration. Where's your book of the Bible? Where are you able to do the things that the apostles did? Now, let me say this much for the snake handlers and poison drinkers, people like that. At least they make some sort of attempt. I'm not saying that they are guided in the right way in making that attempt, and they're endangering their own lives. And sometimes they even suffer the consequences for doing that. And no, it doesn't mean they didn't have enough faith when they suffer the consequences. It means that they shouldn't have been trying that to begin with, because they're not apostles, and they didn't have those particular spiritual gifts. But anyway, at least they make an attempt. You have a lot of people out there that say, well, I'm going to say what the Lord lays on my heart, which means you're claiming to be inspired of God. And yet, you can't demonstrate the Spirit of God. That is, where's the miraculous work? As the claim goes, so must go the demonstration. If you're not going to demonstrate the Word of God, then exactly what are you saying that you can do here? You say you can speak what the Holy Spirit wants you to say, but you can't do anything by what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's not just about words, ladies and gentlemen. The Holy Spirit is about power. And I'm not saying that people who are converted don't have the Spirit of Christ. What I am saying is that there is a difference between the miraculous works demonstrated by the apostles in the first century and by the people of God before then, in the miraculous days and ages of man, and in what people are intended to do now. Now they are intended to pick up the words of the Holy Spirit, the Bible. Now they are intended to use the written word. It doesn't mean that you don't have the Spirit of God if you're a child of God, but it also means that you can't just up and say something and say, well, I said that because the Spirit laid it on my heart. You can't do that. That's claiming inspiration. No more than you can go over here to the hospital and pull people out of their sick beds and death beds and go to the cemetery and jerk people up out of the, or tell them to open up the casket and there you go. They're just right as rain. Jesus could do that. The apostles could do that kind of thing. Not you, my friend, because you don't have the inspiration they had. And that's about as plain as I can make it. If you want to know something of God, you've got to go back to the Bible. Now, the Spirit does, I'm not trying to tell you the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything. The Holy Spirit makes intercession. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Notice he's talking to Christians here. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We have a difficulty in prayer, and the Holy Spirit makes intercession with respect to the prayer. But that's something that the Holy Spirit is doing in heaven, if you will, something that is going on in the spiritual realm. With respect to what is going on right here and right now, you need to make sure that you are full of the Word of God. And as you do that, then you will know you're in league with God's Spirit and you're being filled with the Spirit of God inasmuch as you take in the Bible, the written Word of God. How can I prove that? It's not too hard. In Ephesians chapter 5, around verse 19, it talks to us about being filled with the Spirit, and it also discusses it from the standpoint of having the Word of God from Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now you say, well, what do you mean there? Can you piece those together a little bit more for me? Sure. What you can do is look at Colossians first, for example. And notice in Colossians, he's talking about doing things by the authority of God. He's talking about singing, things like that. The Word of Christ dwells in you richly. And notice what he says right after that. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is the same context, the same thing he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 5. Because if you go to Ephesians chapter 5, you see he says in verse 18, "Do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart." So in Ephesians 5, he says, be filled with the Spirit. In Colossians, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Folks, as you take in the word, you are allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell with and be a part of your life. Don't think you need to get out here and the more I spit and sputter, the more I have the Spirit. No. Don't think that you should be able to do what an apostle did. No, you can't do that either. It doesn't mean you don't have the Spirit of Christ if you're a Christian. Think about it. And if there's any way we can help you at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, we certainly want to do so. And we appreciate you so much listening this afternoon.